So why would we was there a discussion?
Mm-hmm. There was, yeah.
The advantage or purpose or reason to contract it out.
Okay, well, let me...
Somebody on the call last week, want to summarize that?
Sure, I'll regurgitate what I heard, and then if that doesn't seem to reflect the conversation, people can chime in. On the issue of the printing and the mailing and the layout and proofing, I mean, much of that is contracted out, to be honest, and it probably would be once again. I mean, we don't do the printing, we don't do the mailing, as you said. I think the concept was that when we've tried to do the layout and the proofing in-house, as happened, for example, with Casey Peters, there were problems, and that perhaps having one unified vendor go from beginning to end would be an issue. It's one of the choke points that the NES has always identified, as too much work comes in too fast and can't be done. So that was the reason that that was put out. And again, it's a task that's 75% contracted out anyway. What came up around the count is there were a lot of details from people who felt that the scanning and counting process was really problematic, that it always has been, and that it was last year. There were accounts of the days and the weeks at KPFA when they were dealing with the way that the ballots were printed, and that it caused some problems for the scanner. And there were a couple of other people who sort of chimed in with the idea that our counting process has been very arduous, and there was some sense that a contractor might be able to do it in a much more quickly and less grueling manner. I don't know that that's true necessarily, but that's what was put out on the call, and that was the reason that it was concluded that that might be a contractable task.
Just a follow-up question, if I might. Were those problems reported in that 2009 report? Did those specific things come up in the report that we just were talking about previously in this meeting? That there were problems with scanning?
I believe they did. I don't have it in front of me right now. I'll look it up while we're talking.
I mean, they'll certainly come out in the NES's report whenever that shows up. I mean, I'm sure of that much.
Okay, thank you.
I'll look it up while we're talking here. So, other people want to, especially anybody who was on the call last week, want to add anything to about the discussion?
I wasn't on the call. This is Alex. I'd like to say something.
Okay, go ahead, Alex.
Not necessarily for or against the proposal, but I do to make a caveat here that if we do go ahead with a proposal for contracting out, that there'd be some pretty specific safeguards to make sure that nobody is pushing their friends to do some of this work. We, you know, I'm not saying anybody would, of course, but we have to watch out for things like that. If we do go ahead with the decision to contract, then it should be something that the implementation of which is left really up to management, probably Pacific as HR director and the executive director.
Okay.
That's all I wanted to say.
All right. Anybody want to comment on that or anything else? By the way, I'm about to forward that report that I sent to the PAC Elections group on January 22nd. I'm going to send it to everybody again, everybody who's on that Yahoo group. Anybody else who wasn't on the call last week have questions about the recommendations? Amazingly quiet. Oh, Tracy, could you kind of give a little summary of why some of this stuff we hope will save money also?
That might be better to have you do that, Bill. I'm not sure I'm entirely clear on how it would save money. I'm clear about how certain things would save money, but not so much the contracting out these chunks. So would you be okay doing that part?
Yeah, sure. Okay, well, part of it, and maybe we didn't put this quite in the LC in your minutes, I forget. Part of it was having to do with reducing the printing and mailing costs. A large portion of the expense is...
I believe we're losing you, Bill. Can you?
Okay, sorry. A lot of the expense. Let me take off this headset. a lot of the expenses is printing the candidate information pamphlet, which is pretty big for some of the stations, depends on how many candidates there are, and mailing it to about 100,000 members. That's what Pacifica has. So there's a lot of printing and there's a lot of postage cost. It costs several dollars per person. I haven't seen the final report from Les, so I'm not sure what it is, but it's several dollars per person, and somewhere between 80 and 90% of them go in the trash because, you know, less than 20%, we have less than 20% people who even vote at all. So the idea was to send out a postcard to everyone, all members, notifying the election coming up, ask for return for address corrections to give us one last chance to check the to make sure we have their addresses correct. This would probably be done in June during the nominations period. And encourage people to get the information about the candidates via websites, because it would save us money and it would allow them to access the audio files and other information there. But if they want to get a printed pamphlet, they could send the postcard back or call a number and request that. And so that would allow for everyone, whether they have internet access or not, to get all the information they need on the elections. But it would keep us from having to print and mail perhaps 80% of the of all the candidate pamphlets to everyone. And then we also, I think, decided we didn't want to try electronic voting, except perhaps on an experimental basis on one staff election, as Tracy mentioned. So we would still follow up and have a mail-the-paper ballot, which is a single sheet of paper and maybe one other sheet of paper with instructions. Mail that to all the members, again, with a reminder that they can access the information online or what to do if they want to get a printed copy. So that's a lot of the money savings would be in reducing printing and mailing costs. And the other possibility is that to not have to reinvent the wheel so much, because if there are companies that do elections for nonprofits a lot, and they might be able to do some of the other work more efficiently, like laying out the candidate information booklet, as Tracy talked about.
This is Ken. Could I get on a snack?
Yeah. Oh, who is this?
Ken.
Ken, okay. Yeah, go ahead, Ken.
I just thought of something as you were speaking. A less aggressive method of saving money on the candidate pamphlet would be to, with on-air announcements, encourage people to request that they not receive it, or send it an email saying, please do not send me that pamphlet, I'll go online. And that's the other side of it. In other words, they would have to opt out rather than they'd have to opt in. You're requesting we send out postcards and they opt in to get the pamphlet.
Yeah.
I'm saying we send out a mailing,
mm-hmm,
and they opt out of getting the pamphlet. And that's less aggressive. And then the following year, we could maybe, you know, migrate over towards a tradition of sending out the postcard and having requiring an opt-in, but initially we could have an opt-out.
I like that, actually.
Yeah. And Sean, for the stack.
Okay, go ahead, Sean.
I don't know if this should go with our list of requirements from our January report or it's appropriate here, but one thing that's always blown my mind is that we do all these fund drives and we never remind anybody that one of the benefits of being a member is you get to vote. Then every election we sweat quorum. See, I don't think people understand that they haven't tied together giving and voting, and we should really push that during our fund drives, and then I don't think we'd have to sweat so much in terms of quorum. So this has always amazed me that that is not part of the pitch at fund drives, during our fund drives, and I'd like to see that changed. It's simple, it's easy, and it doesn't cost anything, and it may increase our needs for quorum that we're always sweating. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me put myself in the stack real quick, and I'll just maybe ask Ken or anybody else, how many people do you think would opt out? I'm assuming not too many, but maybe they would if we encouraged them to.
I mean, my feeling about it is people are pretty motivated by not getting mail they don't want. So I think you would get a significant chunk of people opting out. I don't think it'd be 80%. I think you might well get 40-45%.
That would be amazing.
Can you explain the opt-out again?
I call up the station and say, don't send me the pamphlet.
Well,
an email.
No. You get a postcard. You get a postcard in the mail that says, if you don't want to receive the voter book, because, you know, you get a postcard that says the candidate information will be here, just so you know this. You know, if you'd prefer not to receive all candidate information by mail, check here in return.
This is Alex.
Can I get on the stack? I'm sorry.
Okay, is that Renee?
Yes.
Okay, Alex and then Renee. Go ahead, Alex.
It sounds like a good idea, but you should be aware that you're creating another layer of things for staff people to keep track of. That is, who's sending back the postcards or who's making the phone calls. So we're going to have another list to keep track of, the list of people that are going to get the mailing. I don't know if this is workable in this form. Unless this could all be automated online, I don't think it's practical.
Good point.
Hey, Renee?
I like the opt-out better than the opt-in because I'm thinking that I guess my question is, do we know, you're saying the voting is less than 20%. Is that because of all the problems, or you think that, and when I mean problems, I'm also including the fact that it doesn't even run regularly, the candidates' announcements don't even run regularly on the station. Mm-hmm. That's been my experience. So my question is, do we know, or has there been any study or to show, is the low turnout in the voting due to the problems or that people really aren't interested? Because I think the opt-in would be more discouraging to people who might be interested but have the obstacles of not hearing the announcements, not hearing the other things. So I think the opt-out is more fair.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody want to respond to that?
Yeah, I think it's only 10% that we need for quorum, not 20%. If we got 20%, everybody would be really, really happy. And I hate to tell you, I don't think it's so much the process. I just think the vast majority of people, just want the radio station run well, their money not stolen, and with a good progressive editorial viewpoint. Most people don't give a damn, I hate to tell you, about our governance. You know, I mean, it's been my experience in almost 2.5 years now. I've never had a person who I didn't already know from either committees or some involvement in Pacifica. I've never had a listener come up to me and say, Sean, you got to do this, or I'm concerned about this. And I hate to say it, I believe in democracy too. But, you know, most people just, you know, they're not that interested, guys, and you're not going to get around that. I really don't think you are, you know. And that's why that's part of the reason we have these big factional fights, is that allows small groups of people to get organized to, you know, run the elections and get through the elections and everything like that. And we got to, you know, that's a talk for a later day. But that's, I believe, your biggest problem.
Can I get back on the stack when you get time?
Okay. Let me ask Sean, how much time do we have on this, by the way?
10 minutes and 20 seconds, sir.
Okay, and so that was for Tracy and Campbell? Okay, go ahead, Tracy.
Yes?
Oh, I'm on the stack. Oh, okay. I don't even remember why I was on the stack. But I do know that they've done studies on nonprofit board elections in general, when people have them, when they ask the members to vote. And the average turnout is, in fact, 15%.
Yep.
And this is, you know, all nonprofit organizations, those that are factional, those that aren't factional, media, Sierra Club, whatever it is. That's about how many members will vote in these things. The high is about 20. The low is, you know, pretty dismal. Pacifica averages in the 15% range. That is average. So I don't know what that means. We may feel like our members should be better than average or something like that. But the reality is that's how nonprofit board elections are. We're not lower than most, we're not higher than most, we're right in the middle there.
Tracy, could you forward the citation to that information?
I can. I know where it comes from. I don't have it handy right now, but I'll make a note to look it up, then get it to you guys. There's a study.
Hey, Bill, when the second stack comes around, I'd like to be on it again. Tracy, maybe
okay.
Remembers.
And then Campbell wants to be on the stack. Was there somebody else that spoke up a minute ago?
I did.
Renee.
Oh, Ken. Okay, we'll go ahead and Campbell, and then Ken and Renee.
Campbell goes
yeah.
first, right?
Yeah. My only point is that I think that the WPFW listenership may tend to be more engaged and are very concerned about our governance and tend to express it when they have an opportunity, particularly on community comment, and also people express this this concern in regard to our LSB meetings. We'll have, on average, I would say about half a dozen people who will come in and raise one issue or another about management and or governance issues. And I can't say how this translates into voting behavior because I haven't done a study on that, but certainly in the feedback I get in the community, they're very concerned about governance. They're very concerned about station management.
Okay. Ken?
I think the idea of trying to post cards, something like, hey, help us save a tree, learn about the candidates online, and so we don't have to send you a pamphlet. It's a motion to try to change the modality of our elections, which we should be doing. Procedures and protocols are written based on a technology that's available at the time. And this was like instituted 6, 7, 8 years ago when it was originated. Now where we are now, things are different, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera. So it's time for us to try to move it and shift it a little bit and with the least exposure to to unforeseen consequences. Sending out postcards, which is low cost, and then allowing people to opt out seems to me to be the lowest risk. And we could encourage people to participate more by having a contest of finding trivia, a trivia game in the candidate statements, like, who came from Montana or which guy used to play basketball, just something going on that elicits more participation from the viewers in a non-discriminatory fashion that doesn't favor any faction or individual who's running. It can be done. We need creativity to elicit more participation to get our vote up. We all here support complete plurality. We want more listeners voting and more listeners nominating themselves or getting nominated to be candidates. We had an improvement in that in 2009. We want to continue it in 2010. But I think we do want to try to shift it a little bit, jug it, not sit there and continue to do the same thing we've been doing with decreasing participation and listenership. So I think it's a good idea to try to change the face we present to the public in terms of our election procedures.
Okay, Renee?
I kind of like the direction he's going, the last speaker, but I take what the other speaker said, that there was one study, but can we try to do our own, whether during fund drive time, to get some reading and not assume based on one study that people just frankly aren't interested. There may be the years of having, like I said, for me about 4-5 years ago, having called to the Pacifica National at least twice and not getting a ballot till well after the election was over. That was discouraging, and I'm not even sure I voted the next time.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, because you think, it's just going to be the same way over and over again. So maybe if we maybe encourage people during and have some kind of informal poll to see how many people would be interested in voting, and then we can make a determination that, nobody really cares about the management. It's only 15%.
And that would help decide whether to opt in or opt out?
Well, I think the opt out is the fairest right now anyway, but that would give us a more than just someone's hunch that people weren't interested.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for evidence.
Yeah.
You know, some,
Okay.
Poll or something.
All right, let me remind everybody, we're kind of running out of time, and do we want to make a motion on any of these recommendations?
We got 4 minutes in that, and I did ask to be put on the stack afterwards, because I wanted to say one quick thing that I really do think keeps our turnout low, and that is the system we use with STV voting that, one, confuses the heck out of a lot of people because we don't explain it well, and then, two, it's not a transparent a voting system. You know, you need literally a priesthood to divine the numbers for you, and I think that really confuses a lot of people, scares a lot of people, and I've said for quite a while, we as a foundation need to really sit down and rethink STV. I'm not necessarily against STV, but I think it's great for Australia or a city, but I'm not so sure on a board it's a really great system, and I think because it is so confusing, particularly in the vote count, it turns people off. And to kind of go back to the earlier point made, you know, like I said, one of the reasons people don't vote is because they don't know that, you know, voting goes along with the benefits. We don't even advertise that. And that kind of picks up on what Renee was saying, but we don't even advertise the facts. So how can we expect people to be interested when KPF or Pacifica doesn't make a big deal about it when it's doing its fund drives, okay? Okay, folks, thanks. Have a nice evening.
Okay.
You have 2 minutes and 37 seconds, sir.
How much, 37 seconds? Okay, we still don't have a motion now, everybody.
2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Oh, okay, thank you. Was that Anthony that wanted to say something?
Alex.
I'm sorry, who?
Alex.
Oh, Alex. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Alex.
Okay. I sort of said this before. I'd like to reiterate. The intent here is honorable, but I don't think it. I think you have to look at the implications of what you're asking Pacifica management to do. You're asking them to, in effect, maintain two separate lists for the elections. One list of an accurate list of voters who are going to receive printed mailings, and another list of voters who are not going to receive them. It's no secret that we've had a lot of problems just maintaining one list. You're asking them to maintain another list. I don't think this is doable right now. I think what you might want to do is explore the subject with management. Is there a simple way they can do this by, say, adding a field in a MEMSIS database or something like that, so that we could, at the push of a button, generate two separate lists? But I don't know if any of this is doable the way it's being posed right now.
Okay, what sounds like, let me just suggest, maybe a motion that we accept the recommendations from the committee as just recommendations, and that we work with management and the NES to see what's feasible, something like that? Is that the direction we're going?
I think in all cases it's going to be up to the NES whether these things are realistic for them and their team to try to do. I mean, we can recommend till the cows come home, but they're going to have to be able to implement. So it seems to me like the majority of the committee thinks this would be a good thing to do if it's possible to do it. And if it's possible to do it depends on the state of the lists and the staffers. I mean, if there's a competent LES in New York who can take this on and make sure that those lists work, God bless them, and maybe there is and maybe there isn't. So it seems to me that we can make the recommendations for how we think the process should go. And if it's doable, then I'm sure they'll try to do it.
May I add one other thing?
Let me just say real quick, just to clarify, I mean, the point I was trying to make was that the main point was to contract out some of this work. And okay. The details would have to be worked out with the NES, of course. But okay, go ahead. Was that Renee?
We are at time. We are at time, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, well, Bill, yeah, but we can't contract out our own database. I mean, MEMSIS isn't being contracted out.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Is there a motion to extend time, or can we finish on this?
I think we're finished without a motion.
Okay.
I move.
So we don't really have a motion to recommend to pass along to the PNB, but yeah, is that? Unless somebody wants to extend time to do that.
I'll extend time. I think we should have a motion.
And if we extend time, can I get on the stat?
Yeah, was that Renee? Yeah, okay. So how long do you want to extend time for, Tracy? Tracy?
Is there anyone... I'm thinking 10 minutes is enough for Renee's comment and a motion.
And
yeah, mine,
Carol
sure.
will back to me on the stack.
So we're going to probably go after longer than 2 hours if we do all this, or else we won't get to the other motions, which is possible.
And I do want to get to the other motions. Let's extend for 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Hold on.
That's okay.
Okay. Is there any objections to that?
No.
Okay, let's try to be brief. Maybe it'll be less. Tracy? Renee?
Mine is 30 seconds or less. I suggest we recommend the fair vote short video to explain the voting method, because it was excellent. And after looking at that, I had to look at it twice, but it was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That sounds good.
And on the stack?
The single transfer, the voting method.
Okay.
And on the stack?
Okay, Ken?
I don't
somebody can make a motion here.
No, in regards to a motion, I know. I don't feel we had any time to discuss whether or not to outsource any additional parts of this process other than we're currently doing, because we just haven't talked about it. But in terms of the concept of cutting our costs by allowing people to opt out of the receiving the pamphlet, I think we have discussed that, and I think we can make a very polite motion that we suggest that the LES engage in any procedure to allow people to opt out of receiving the pamphlet by requesting it in response to a postcard, and we suggest that that they entertain that idea.
Sean, for the
some kind of a statement like that of a motion, but I really don't feel we've had enough discussion or on increasing any of the amount of the election that would be contracted out specifically this year.
Okay, so Ken's made a motion about saving money by encouraging the NES to allow people to opt out of getting
the candidate
of the printed information.
And that is okay. To opt out, right? Correct.
Yeah, not opt out. Okay.
Right.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah,
if you can write that down,
I,
so you can repeat it back to us, Ken, that'd be great.
That the National Election Committee advise the NES to engage in or to make efforts to allow subscribers to opt out of receiving the candidate pamphlet by methods of station announcement, postcards, or whatever else is workable. Of course, I entertain.
Okay. And I think Renee also had a motion on the floor about that film and mandating its use.
Oh, did you want to make that a motion also, Renee? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, because that's something, that was responding to the point that people can't understand it.
Okay, we'll just say, let me hold on. Oh, can you hold for a minute, Ken? Because I didn't realize it. We'll get back to your motion, Ken.
Sure,
Renee. Okay, so Renee made a motion to recommend using the Fair Vote video to explain STV. Was that right?
Right, if we're allowed to use it, I guess it...
Yeah, okay. I think we are.
Okay, yes. Is there any discussion on that?
I object. I don't know this video. Hello, can I speak?
Is that Alex?
Who's speaking?
This is Alex.
Okay, go ahead, Alex.
I don't know this video, and I don't know if we should be recommending any specific video as an educational tool for our election. We should get a chance to look at it before we make such a recommendation. And we also don't want to be seen in the position of endorsing the company that made this video, which is a private company.
It's a nonprofit organization.
I'm inclined to think that it's not a big deal.
Do you know the video, Tracy?
I've seen the video and I've used it.
Yeah.
It's a good video.
What's
Renee is correct about that, and I think it's all to Pacifica's advantage to use the video.
Well, what is it?
Hold on. Can I make a suggestion here? Alex sounds like he kind of made a motion to postpone consideration until next month or something. Is that kind of what you're getting at, Alex?
I guess so. In any case, this kind of thing ought to be left up to the election supervisors.
I'm actually differing there. I think that a motion from this committee encouraging more outreach and suggesting a specific modality like that is good.
agree.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, just bear in mind, this is March, so we probably wouldn't be doing this for a while. But so, I'm trying to ask Alex, are you making a motion to postpone consideration or not? Or are you just arguing against the motion?
Let's postpone it.
Okay, is there any other discussion on whether we should postpone consideration of Renee's motion?
Friendly amendment subsequent to the committee having an opportunity to view the material.
Can we put it off till our next meeting?
Well, postponing consideration would allow people to do that. Oh, well, I guess that's the assumption, right? So that we would
so
be able
automatically
to
be on the agenda for the next meeting?
Right.
Okay.
So are there objections to doing that, postponing consideration?
Okay.
And then Renee or Tracy, if you can send us a link to how we can see it.
That would be great.
If it's online or someplace, that'd be great.
Yeah, fairvote.org.
Okay.
Yeah, but send a link.
Okay.
Okay. No, back to Ken's motion. I'm sorry, we kind of bypassed Renee. Apologize. Okay. Ken was...
That motion was accepted without objection. Passed without objection.
I think that's right. Yeah, okay. Thank you. So we'll discuss that with the NES and about saving money by opting out. Okay, now, is there anything else on the recommendations from the work group we want to deal with tonight?
Yeah, I'd like to move that the election committee recommends that all the people that pitched during Fund Drive recommend that all people who pitch during the Fund Drive put forth as one of the benefits voting in our elections. I'm sorry for putting it so crudely. I haven't written it out yet.
So all who pitched, people who pitch during Fund Drive promote voting in our elections.
Yeah, that one of the benefits of membership is that you vote in our election. Now I'm getting it together.
Okay. Okay, again, we're running out of time, so any discussion
on that? Yeah,
you got
4 minutes and 44 seconds.
Okay. Any discussion on Sean's motion?
I don't believe it.
Who was that?
Russell.
Russell, go ahead.
Is Sean's motion, was that from the work group on RFP for contracted election task?
No.
Or is that
this is just me making a motion.
I see. Isn't that out of order, though, right now? Because
why?
Because we're on a different thing on the agenda.
No, but you can make a motion at any time, and that's what we're doing right here. And
I can
make a motion anytime I wish.
Okay, I did.
You don't have to vote for it.
I see Russell's
point.
We
may not.
I see Russell's point, but I think we can probably get rid of this pretty quickly. So,
yeah,
is there any objections to Sean's motion? Okay, hearing none, then we'll... Okay, that's approved. Okay.
Thank you all.
But let's...
Drive programmers should promote voting as an advantage to
As one of the benefits of membership.
Okay, thank you.
There were, on the main gist of the work group thing was to consider contracting out some of the work.
What happened?
Partly to save money. Partly to save money. Also, partly to relieve the work.
Develop a system for allowing people to opt out of getting the campaign pamphlet.
Right, and the other point I was going to make is that we're trying to reduce the amount of work on the NES, not increase it, as
right.
Alex was pointing out. This potentially could increase the amount of work.
That's right.
But if we're going to be contracting out some of the stuff, then that might be going to be included in this whole process. But so, do we want to recommend?
Well, I want to make the motion that we encourage the NES. I want to make this motion because I don't want to tie it to having to contract out. I just don't think that way. I want to encourage the NES to entertain the idea of providing subscribers the opportunity to opt out of receiving the campaign pamphlet and acquiring all their necessary information from online sources.
Okay, I thought we already passed that.
Yeah, but that was passed.
I missed it. I was the secretary. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
I know. Well, you just told us we passed it.
Yeah. Without objection, I believe. Right.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry. I lost it. Thank you.
But there were other portions that, again, that Tracy had summarized. From that we considered contracting out, like laying out the candidate pamphlet information.
Right.
The things that are really critical. When the NES and LAS are really busy. This is the time period right after the nominations close, and they've got a zillion things to do, and they're handling campaign complaints and all kinds of other stuff. And so do we want to try to – do we want to recommend that some of this other work be contracted out?
Oh, absolutely.
Sort of in accordance with what the work group said?
Yeah.
Who's making that motion?
I'll move it.
Who's that?
Oh, it's Sean. I'm sorry, guys.
What's the motion?
Yeah, what's the motion?
Mr. Chair, I just moved it. You said it, I moved it. Go ahead.
I don't know what I just moved.
Yeah, what did you say?
Something like that we recommend that the NES... do we recommend the Pacifica consider contracting out part of the election work in accordance with the work group recommendations?
There you go. And I just went so moved. Okay, so there you go,
okay.
Bill.
Ken on that?
Okay, Ken?
I don't like those open-ended things there. I'd rather we specified specifically the layout.
Okay.
And or if you want to say the scanning and counting of the ballots. There's a problem. I do want to speak to that just for a second. I'm not trying to be pedantic here. I know there was once a firm that was solicited to send out all the ballots, receive them all in one place, count them, and report. And I think it was BAI and maybe WPFW, but two stations objected because they wanted public viewing of the counting, scanning, and counting of the ballots. If a private firm does it, they're not likely to allow unlimited access to the public to watch them, to allow the public watch the scanning and counting of the ballots. They'll want to do it at their facilities in Omaha, and they won't have open doors. So I think you have a political issue here. But I think there's no problem with the outsourcing the contract, the layout of the ballot.
We are at time.
Okay. I'm done.
Okay. Do you want
to
extend time or can we go ahead and vote?
More specific? Ken, that's what I want to know.
Pardon me?
Is that an amendment to the motion?
My amendment was just to...
lay out the specifics, correct?
To specifically, grant that the laying out of the ballots. I don't think we're going to get there with scanning and counting the ballots because it intercedes. It's actually in the bylaws that the public has the right to observe the election process.
Right.
And a firm will not grant us that opportunity if they scan and count the ballots. It's all done behind the curtain.
Okay, well, we are running out of time. I'm not sure we have to settle this tonight. Do we want to go ahead and vote on this, or do we want to wait and work or have another work group meeting, or what do we want to do?
I'd say we should probably have another meeting.
And work on the details some more?
Mm-hmm. Another work group meeting, and I will get the references. I will send the references to the bylaws about the public's participation in the election.
Okay, and Ken, remember, don't just send those to the work group. Send those also to
everybody in the
rest of us. The committee, so we can keep up with the work group in some sense.
Okay.
Anything like that, folks, if you get any information from the work group that you think, you know, the whole committee should know about so that we can come in more prepared, that would be great, too, and I thank you very much for doing that in advance.
Okay, so when do we want to meet next? For the work group, we're talking about a work group meeting, right? Is that agreeable to everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. The next two Mondays are already taken. Looking on the KPFTX calendar, I take it Monday's good for people. Actually, the next five Mondays are taken. Okay. So is another day acceptable for the work group? Doesn't have to be everybody, I guess.
Is this the same work group, or are we starting another one?
I guess the same one.
I'm sorry, I stepped away from the phone for a moment.
I think we want to refine this, and as Ken was saying, maybe be a little more specific.
Okay.
And whatever else, however else people want to massage the recommendations. When's the next PNB meeting? I don't see it on the KPFTX calendar.
The PNB meeting is April 23rd.
No, well, not in person, but just the next conference call.
Oh, I thought it was the 26th, but I haven't seen it on the calendar either, so maybe
right.
It's not
okay.
Definite.
I just wonder if we want to try to meet before then, but because it would have to go back to the whole committee anyway to be recommended. Okay, well, the dates that are open in March, I'll just mention this. There aren't too many dates open in March. Tomorrow is available. Just looking at Tuesdays, the 16th is available, the 30th is available. This Friday the 12th, the next Friday the 19th, and Friday the 26th is available. Saturday the 20th or the 27th. Sunday the 14th or the 21st or the 28th. So let me check. Do we want to meet on a Tuesday?
Well, if you...
Tuesdays... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Tuesdays are a little tough for me because that's when I do my show. And if we start about... if traffic's good, then I can make it by 5:30. So, but then again, you're counting on the 405. And for those of you who don't live in Southern California, that can be real slow sometimes.
Okay, well, Wednesdays and Thursdays are out for the rest of the month for just looking at the KPFT calendar. Do you want to try Friday?
No.
No.
Just speaking for myself.
Okay.
It's not going to work.
Or Saturday?
Oh. Yeah, right.
Or Sunday. Those are the only other days available.
Sunday's better than Saturday or Friday.
I would be inclined to go for Sunday night if we have to.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I do my programs on Sunday nights. So.
Yeah, I don't want to give up my Masterpiece Theater, you know.
Well, it doesn't have to be night. It could be earlier on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. That's harder, unless it's the morning. What time are you... Your program's over at, 6:30 Pacific?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we can't start that late.
Who are you talking to?
Anthony.
Anthony, okay. Because I didn't know. Yeah.
Are we talking about a specific Sunday?
But it's every other week, isn't it? So which week is it not?
Oh, wait a minute, guys. Hey, which meeting are we talking about right now? Are you talking about the work group? Oh, then forget what I said. It doesn't matter for me, guys. I apologize. I thought we were talking about our next meeting. I apologize.
Oh, yeah, we need to set the next meeting, too. That's right, we don't have it on
the
calendar. So,
Yeah, well, it sounds like then the objection to Tuesday was Sean.
It's not me now because I'm not part of the work group.
So is the 23rd open for people?
The 23rd's a finance meeting.
Oh, then it's not open for me. Okay. Well, I know that I can't do the 30th, but maybe if everybody else can, that's the best option.
Can we do a Monday that's not a full committee meeting?
Well, all the next the Mondays for the rest of this month and into April are booked.
Okay.
If we don't need to stream it or record it, we could do that. But it may conflict with some other meetings, though.
I've been trying to avoid that. Which Sunday are you not working, Anthony? Out of the next two?
On this coming. One and not the next.
So what if we did it on the 21st? Assuming the PNB is not meeting on the 21st, which I'm not entirely sure about.
Okay.
Sean, do you know when the next PNB meeting is for sure? Because I've heard the 21st and I've heard the 26th.
No, it's the 23rd through the 25th.
Not the in-person, the telephone.
Oh, God. You know, I don't, and I apologize. And now let me see if it's on. Hold on. Let's see.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's told us, but I keep hearing. First, I heard the 21st. Now I heard the 26th, but it's never official.
You're hearing more than I am. I'll tell you that.
George Rogers sent out a note Saturday morning, March 26th.
Okay.
Oh, it is the 26th. Okay.
It's March 26th. Okay, good.
Then we can meet on the 21st, I think. If we really want to.
21st is my news day.
I thought you said the 21st was the week you didn't do the news. I just asked you.
No, it is the one that's coming up.
Coming Sunday.
Hey, you said the 26th? What time is that starting on the 26th?
8:30 Eastern.
Boy, I'm going to have to cut it. I may not make the beginning of the meeting. I've got a speaking gig. that I got to do on the 26th.
Well, that doesn't make meeting on the 28th all that appealing, but I guess we could.
Okay, did anybody have an objection to the 21st, March 21st for the work group?
That's my news day.
Anthony can't do it.
Oh, it's your new. Oh, well, the 28th?
That's okay.
Okay. Anybody else have an objection to the 28th? This is Sunday?
Only that it's, sad.
Yeah,
no.
Okay. Agreed.
One of the only nights my husband's home, but...
Okay. Do we want to do an afternoon or evening? Afternoon or evening? Or morning? Pick a time, someone.
I think early-ish evening, but early evening Pacifica is everyone else's early, Pacific time is everyone else's nighttime.
What?
Want to propose a time?
8:30.
Eastern?
Yeah.
Is that okay? That's our regular time, I guess?
Yeah.
No objections? Okay, so work group will meet. That's the Sunday, the 28th of March, 8:30 Eastern time. Okay.
What time does the committee meet? When does the
committee? We need to go ahead and do that too, I guess, don't we? While we're talking about meetings. So, committee meeting date for April. Looking at the KPFTX calendar, the first three Mondays are taken, the first three Wednesdays are taken.
Crap.
This is Ken. We do want to meet in April prior to the PND meeting.
Yeah. Let's look.
Well, you're going to have plenty of time because the meeting for the PNB is not till the 23rd or 5th or something like that,
23rd through the 25th.
Something like that.
In-person meeting?
Yeah.
That's the in-person meeting.
Okay,
so...
let's see.
Tuesdays were bad for who? Sean?
Me. They're bad for
every
me.
Every Tuesday's
but they're
bad?
No, they're not. I do my show. And I should be able most of the time, praying on the traffic of the 405, make it home. So, if it has to be a Tuesday, guys, I'll, if I'm a few minutes late, forgive me.
Well, is there anyone for whom Thursdays are impossible? There is a Thursday on April 15th. And one on April 1st. I don't know if those are too late.
Those
15th might be too late.
Both very bad for me.
Okay, that answers that.
Bad.
Okay, well, I think we're stuck with Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'd really like to avoid the weekend for this if we could.
Yeah.
So Tuesday's okay, except Sean might miss the first part of it. Is that what you're saying, Sean?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you guys need to do Tuesdays, do them. Hopefully, I'll get back in time. If traffic holds me up, I'll be a few minutes late. That's just reality.
Okay.
So it's Tuesday. What date?
Well, we got every Tuesday's open on the KPFTX calendar.
We got the 6th and we got the 13th. And it sounds like we can have whichever one we like better.
Let's say the 6th.
April 6th. Any objections to Tuesday, April 6th?
What time?
I will be in Los Angeles Tuesday, April 6th, which doesn't mean that I can't call in. So, okay, let's do it. I don't know. I might have to miss the call. I'm not sure, but probably not.
Is the 13th better?
Yeah, marginally.
So let's make it the 13th.
Okay.
Okay, April 13th.
So that's for the committee meeting, correct, folks?
Yes, the whole,
yes.
Right.
No, okay. Yeah, the committee meeting.
Whole election committee meeting, okay.
Yeah, the subcommittee is on the Sunday.
April 13th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
8 p.m.
Okay. Let's see, we're it's running late. Let's see, what else was on the agenda that we didn't get to? That
is your motion. Oh, Ken's motion.
Okay, Ken's motion's next. Can we go ahead and do that?
What's the time on the election committee meeting, guys? I'm sorry.
8:30.
8:30, okay.
Yeah. Okay, we've been going almost 2 hours, so
yeah.
Okay to continue a little bit longer, folks, if we can try to be brief?
I want to be brief. I can give you some updates on this. I've already talked with...
Okay, go ahead.
Who's talking?
This is Ken.
This is Ken talking about my motion. Motion is the PNV advised the executive director to rapidly implement the use of the staff registry software and make staff registration mandatory and a requirement for participation as staff member, either as a voter or a candidate in any Pacifica election. And I tried to promote this through the KPFK Governance Committee and spoke with the general manager. He was reticent. He wanted to be instructed by National because he was concerned about any legal any legal consideration, the word is based. And but I so I just want to forward this motion that the staff registry is software. It exists. It runs on the internet. It's owned by Pacifica. It costs us nothing. It's there. We can not only use it for voting, we can use it for training and for our CPB reports about the diversity on our staff. It has a lot of functionality, but we should implement it. And it's what we're requiring is identities. People do not have to tell us about their identity. They can choose to put their names on it and not give us an address or who they are or something, but then they don't vote. But they have that option. We went over this with a lawyer. So they can work there, but they can't be a member and vote unless they give us the name and address. Or it could be a P.O. box.
Russell?
But that's all on the website, and it's clearly explained, and I have all that material. So what we're asking is that the PNB advise the ED to rapidly implement the use of the staff registry software and make staff registration mandatory for participation as a staff member, either voting or being a candidate in any Pacific election. That's the motion. I don't,
okay.
If, you know, we can
Russell
go to a vote, I don't think we have any discussion, or we can...
Yeah, well, let's have some quick discussion. Okay, who is that that wants to speak?
Yeah, how much time, I'm sorry, the timer is a little lost here. How much time should we give to this?
Well,
we're
scheduled 10 minutes.
Is that okay, everyone?
Okay.
Okay. It's already into it at 2 minutes, I believe.
Okay, thank
three.
You, and I apologize for that.
Okay, so let's try to be brief, everyone, in your discussion. So who wanted to be on the stack?
Russell.
Okay, Russell, go ahead.
Yeah, it sounds like such a broad and important decision, although there are obviously some things that would be benefits here. There are a lot of questions about it. I mean, it seems like we should know, for example, you know, what the paid and unpaid staff unions think about such a thing. There's going to be crosstalk of issues between the bylaws and this sort of thing. I mean, to give up your right to vote in order to keep your identity concealed is something that the bylaws sort of already seems to speak to. You're supposed to be able to be a member and not have to give up your identity if there's a reasonable alternative to some sort of communication or such that that can be decided on. I believe in Article 12 of the bylaws, something like the foundation has a right to provide a reasonable alternative method for whatever might need to be done with respect to identity of members, and that goes for staff members as well as unpaid as well as listener members. So it seems to me that that's one issue, and besides that, the way this is written, it looks to me like there's a question about giving the general manager the right to decide who gets on the staff and unpaid staff list. It seems like the bylaws say that with regard to unions that it's got to be the union representatives who decide who the members are. When an unpaid staff union, for example, is recognized by management, they're supposed to determine membership, not management. Right, that's in the bylaws. So this motion, on the face of it, seems to have problems with respect to the bylaws in a number of places. Also, it seems to me.
Okay, we need to let some other people speak too. I think.
Okay, I'll just really be quick. But yeah, really quick. some staff don't have computer access, and that shouldn't be a requirement, especially for community radio station. Okay.
What? Well, there are computers in the stations. They don't have to have one at home or in their backpack.
Many people.
Okay, let other people speak, and then we'll get back.
Sean, for
get
the
on stack. Let me just finish.
You've been going for
very, very quickly, if you can, Russell.
Yeah, Sean's keeping time. Let's stick with that.
Yeah, and there should be.
Can you let him finish?
I'm almost finished. I just want to say there should also be due process written into any such thing, and there's nothing here about due process if management, if there's some disagreement between management and, say, unpaid staff member. And that's happened. I just want to move that we have a working group that discusses this or something, because it seems like there's so many implications that if we're hasty on it, we could be, breaking the bylaws at worst and doing something.
That's still Russell speaking.
I'm done.
Okay, well, Tracy. I heard Sean and then somebody else and Tracy.
Tracy would like to be on the stack, yeah. Thank
you. What, Tracy? I'll go after you. Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead, Tracy.
I just wanted to say from my perspective and the station that I'm representing here, I mean, we had horrible staff list problems, maybe the worst in the network, I'm not sure, but pretty bad, sort of notoriously bad. And in most cases, it resulted from the fact that there was no record of the hours that people worked. Our unpaid staff association defines who's a staff member, who's not, by how many hours they work. The problem is there's no proof of how many hours anybody works. So one person says one thing, the other person says another thing. Someone just has to decide. It really hasn't worked. It's polarized people. It's created horrible feelings. I don't know if the right decisions were made. In the end, whoever was popped in the position of the LAS just had to make a decision, based on this person says this, this person says that. I think this person is telling the truth, and I think that person isn't. I mean, there was no way to tell. So for me, this idea of having a record to refer to seems like manna from heaven, and I think it's something that whatever details we want to do in terms of debugging it or this, that, or the other thing we should do, but I don't think there's any question in my mind. It's like, thank God, finally, some way to solve these things. Because at least in our station, it was often the general manager who was pitted against the unpaid staff member. And there's an uneven balance of power there. It's very uncomfortable. And I don't want to see people put in the position that they've been put into, which is basically needing to, cross their manager who has some power over them in order to insist on their right to vote. I mean, that's just bad for everybody.
Okay.
So I say thank you, Ken, and let's do it as soon as possible.
Okay, Sean.
I want to associate myself with everything that Ms. Rosenberg just said. One of the biggest problems we have, and I'm a staff rep, is how these different groups, factions, or collectives, as they are put, literally are used to stuff the ballot box of staff elections, and we really do need some kind of registry, and particularly since this software was developed for us and is already available, we should look into, explore it, make sure we know what we're talking about when we explain it to the public. But we absolutely need this because staff elections are being corrupted by people who really aren't staff, and they just make out a list and sign up or show up for a half hour. And that's really unfair to the staff all across the network. Thank you.
Okay, now who else wanted to be on the stack?
As the maker of the motion, I want to close.
Okay, well, Alex first. Go ahead, Alex.
I just want to enthusiastically endorse this motion. It's based on a very simple principle, that is that it's up to management to figure out who their staff is. It's not up to some faction, or it's not even up to a union. Unions can bargain for whoever is on staff, but they can't decide who is on staff. That makes no sense whatsoever. And there's nothing contradicting the bylaws in this. In fact, it would be in support of the bylaws insofar as we would take a small step closer to having some a fair election process.
Thank you.
Okay. Anthony, anybody else?
I just want to speak in behalf of the motion.
This is
okay, who's this?
Well, let Anthony go,
Aaron.
Man.
People haven't spoken yet. First.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, Anthony?
Yeah, comments, not necessarily for or against the motion, but I do want to say I know of no instance of list stacking at my station, KPFA. And the bylaws do say that membership in a recognized unpaid staff organization is the determinative of voting rights by staff. And, according to the rules of that particular unpaid staff organization, that's what the bylaws say.
Mm-hmm.
And in more general terms, I don't have a problem with the phrase that it's the manager's duty to figure out who is staff. But if it's an honest inquiry into who is staff, that's one thing. If it's an attempt to exclude people based on their not being in a pro management faction, that's where my concern lies.
May I get on the stack?
Okay, who's that? Renee?
We are at time. I hate to say, folks.
Okay.
It
is getting late. Okay. Well, we're at time. We could vote on the motion, or we could put it off to the work group. I guess.
This is a committee. Yeah, this is a committee decision. This should be a committee vote, I think, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
I call the question.
Okay. I guess the question's already made. It could call for a time, so
yeah,
we need
time,
to vote
so
on it.
Let's just take the vote.
Yeah. Let's
okay.
just vote.
Could
so
someone restate the motion quickly, please?
Yeah.
Kim.
I'm sorry. Just 1 second. I'm doing this further action here, Secretary. Motion is the PNB Election Committee encouraged the NES to. Nope, that's not it.
It's on the agenda.
I got it. That the PNB advised the Executive Director to rapidly implement the use of the staff registry software and make staff registration mandatory and a requirement for participation as staff member, either as a voter or a candidate in any Pacific election.
Point of order, Bill?
Yes. Yeah.
This is Russell.
Russell,
I had moved before. I had moved before to postpone this discussion.
Oh, that's right. I didn't catch that.
Is there a motion?
Right.
Yeah, I had a motion to postpone this.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I wasn't aware of it either.
Okay, I remember you talking about it tonight. But...
The motion is on the floor right now.
I wrote a note on that, and I just forgot about it, so... All right. Yeah, you're actually, that takes precedence right now. So we have a motion to postpone consideration till the next meeting. Is that correct?
Take the vote.
Okay, so any objections to doing that? Let me ask it that way first.
Yes. The motion to postpone consideration.
Right, till the next meeting. Is there any objections to that?
Yep.
Yes, I object.
Okay. Well, Ken, can you call the roll on the motion to postpone consideration?
It is a motion to postpone consideration of the pushing the staff registry. Tracy?
Yes.
No.
Okay, Anthony?
Yes.
Okay, Sean?
No.
Okay, Ken? No. Bill?
Yes.
Okay, Wesley?
No.
Okay, Melinda?
Yes.
Okay, Campbell?
Yes.
Okay, Renee?
Yes.
Okay, Peter?
Yes.
Okay, Alex?
No.
Okay, Russell?
Yes.
Okay, and that's it. So I have to count this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 to postpone and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to not postpone. So the motion is postponed till the next meeting.
Okay, thank you. All right, so if you have any more thoughts, anybody, you can email each other and we can come up with a
motion to adjourn.
Shorter way of dealing with it. So.
Second.
Just action items. Could we do that real quick?
I just saw the only action item I have is Renee is to send out a link on the Fair Vote video.
I'll do that.
Okay, and I will send an email about the public's right to observe scanning and counting of votes. I don't know if there's any other. Did I miss anything?
I think Bill was going to try to get the current LES job description.
Oh, good.
All right, okay.
Provide that to the working group.
Yeah.
Approve the requesting? Do we approve working on the? We approved working on the ads. So okay, we haven't made anybody in charge yet.
All right, guys, gotta go.
Okay, we'll communicate by email on that. I guess. Is that all right?
Okay.
So there's a motion to adjourn, I believe.
Yep.
Any objections?
No.
Hearing
none, we're adjourned. And thank you, John, for streaming
and recording. Thank you, everybody. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, everybody. Okay,
bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.